This podcast is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability, criminal prosecution, and the wrath of the tall man.
Boy!
Hey, let's talk about you. The ID10T community events at ID10T.com, like Russ Stevens, a.k.a. Cool Movies Darth, who has started a podcast called 90 for Chill, which Russ says is dedicated to movies with a runtime between 74 and 99 minutes, the time frame that I feel is ideal. Russ, I could not agree with you more. That is a fantastic idea. Russ goes on to say, there are times you need a cinematic fix but don't have time for the latest Scorsese masterpiece or offering from a comic book universe. There's also times when you know you need a conclusion to prevent a binge costing you a whole night. My guests and I try to follow these guidelines as we chat up features that are definitely worth your time and are beyond easy to make time for. 90 for Chill, the podcast, can be found on all major podcast platforms at 94chill.com, and that's spelling out 90, N-I-N-E-T-Y, 4-F-O-R, chill. So there you go. Thank you so much for sharing, Russ. Really great idea for a podcast. Events at ID10T.com for everyone else.
Thank you for checking out 90 for Chill, the podcast with Cat Bus, Russ. I just want to give a heads up. We had a lot of technical difficulties with this episode. I think it was my HP computer, but it's weird, internet connections, what have you. But thank you very much for Dre from the Tattoo Squid podcast for hanging in there. And I hope we have given you a great conversation about Super Mario Brothers 1993. Thanks for checking out 90 for Chill the podcast and enjoy the show.
The princess.
Where's the rock?
The plumbers took it.
Plumbers.
Plumbers! Alien species escaping.
Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
All right. Well, this is 90 for Chill, the podcast with Cat Bus Russ and... My guest is the returning Andres from Tattoo Squid. A fun little podcast, great character study. Yes. And, you know, I didn't necessarily intend, I was just throwing suggestions out when I put images up on the platform formerly known as Twitter. But, I threw a GIF of John Leguizamo telling us to trust the fungus. And yes, it has led us to 1993's Super Mario Brothers, a Disney-backed adaptation of the Nintendo property, a very loose adaptation at that. And the failure of this movie resulted in Nintendo not allowing their properties to be adapted to other media for, well, essentially 30 years. So
yeah, that's why you had to get like the DVD. So you had to buy the DVD to watch it and see it anywhere else.
Correct. Yeah, it's imagine
I actually just finished watching it like maybe not even 10 minutes ago. So it had the whole Bros. We put a theme song going on at the end.
Yeah, it's I mean, it does its best to try to say, this is Mario Brothers, people, sure. And if you look at it as a Mario Brothers movie, it's not any I can understand why people I can understand Nintendo's stance. It was I mean, this eventually, like, I've watched a video on YouTube from Secret Galaxy, and they had gone and discussed this movie and the all the struggle to it. Nintendo definitely wanted it, and they guess it went from the writer of Rain Man, just kept on jumping from script to script. They already got Leguizamo. They got the main cast taken care of. Dennis Hopper as Koopa, Bob Hopkins as Mario, John Leguizamo as Luigi. And then eventually it ended up in the hands of the people behind Max Headroom. So that's...
Headroom,
thank you. Yeah. That was one of those, like, I don't think there was anything offensive about that show, but that was just something my parents thought was too stupid. No, you don't need to watch that.
Oh, what, the movie?
Not the movie. I'm talking about Max Headroom.
that was like that show, man. That's like ahead of its time, basically.
Oh yeah. Especially everything on Adult Swim. So, essentially,
but it's like more. I want to do that. I want to have like my own head kind of thing, doing that whole.
Right. With the glitch, with the glitching, and guess it's again watching a lot of YouTube videos about video games. Like old, there's a lot of video game characters who are essentially that. So, so this is actually, I guess you would say, they've kind of had a head of the game on what video gaming would eventually become. I mean, the voice actor, Frank Welker, who pretty much does all the creature noises in this, you pretty much can find him credited on every video game. So now, you know, that we have the ability to get sound pretty good. This was, though, when I saw it in the theaters back in 93, it was it's the first time I would say I kind of thought, man, I should apologize to my dad for taking us to this one, because as a 13-year-old Mario fan, this definitely doesn't work. But there's been a lot of reassessments on the feature since then. I know this ruined the director's career for a good 10 years. If you don't think about it as a Mario movie and just like what we were watching on a live action adaptation of the really crazy cartoons we were watching in the 80s. I think it holds up. There's a lot of still direction errors, and definitely not a perfect film by any stretch of the imagination, but it's just a misunderstood film.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you're looking at, everybody that watches the film, like say now, and they're like, oh my God, why? Or even, 5 years from, 5 years before, they'll be watching it like, oh my God, it's so shitty. You're looking at it's from 1993. I mean, it was saying stuff about like different, like it was like in the 90s or something. Like, oh, it was so great. Oh my God. Hello.
I am sorry. I don't. Worst thing about podcasting on a Sunday is if the internet's going bad, you can't really call and complain to anybody.
Yeah.
So.
But, like I was saying, that was like everybody's misunderstood the movie and all that. But, I mean, hey, some people don't like it. Some people are not really video game fans. So.
Well, I would say, The biggest issue is this is before we had truly narrative video games. You look back at the opening of the feature where they have I don't even know if I would call it computer animation. I think it was like they probably drew everything and then went digital over it to try to make it look like a
the 65 million years in the past kind of thing.
Correct. Yeah, it's I think they tried to make it look like it was a video game. It was probably cheap Disney work real fast because they did not intend to originally. That wasn't in the original script. They just had to go and.
Yeah, but I think we call it basically at the beginning, they were trying to do like the video game version somewhat, you know, the.
Right.
The pixel being all airbound.
Yeah, letting us know, oh, this is based off a video game. Now the critics shouldn't give us a thrashing. Because, back in that day, we were still on cartridges. I think the most narrative video game you really had, at least on a platform, a home console, would have probably been Final Fantasy 3/6. Some RPGs, but you definitely didn't have cutscenes. It's not like we're not to the point where it's like we get to the PlayStation 4 and the Naughty Dog Last of Us Uncharted games that essentially are movies. And I, as a video game fan, I kind of prefer the old days where it was just about getting your high score, not worrying, you know, you earn everything instead of, oh, so many people worked on this game. Well, we have to respect them. So sit through this 5 minutes of cutscene and hope your fingers are still ready to play well.
Yeah, especially when you do Nintendo, you're like, oh, and then your fingers hurt like so bad.
Oh, yeah. Nintendo hard, as they said. So the feature official runtime is 1 hour, 44 minutes. If you don't stick around for the credit sequence where we have Iggy and Spike trying to sell their movie.
Iggy's World.
Yeah, Super Koopa Cousins, which I don't know. I'm surprised. If it wasn't for Nintendo being so protective of their property, I would imagine, hey, come on, some indie gamer come up with this. I know they did I know there's a sequel comic that was written, I think, last year. Like, what actually happened when Daisy returns at the end? And that's just thinking of Daisy. That's a weird thing that they chose, you know. Well, obviously, they didn't name Princess Toadstool Peach yet, but Daisy essentially is the captive girl from the Game Boy game Super Mario Land from 89, and I think that was just to differentiate things. So I don't know if Daisy would have been in people's in the zeitgeist if it wasn't for this movie, because I can't really remember any other game she's actually you know, damsel in distress or a playable character as that isn't a Smash Brothers or a Mario Party.
Yeah, Mario Party, they have like pretty much every princess in there. I don't even know, like two, like Peaches and Daisy, and then they turn around like, oh, there's another one, that's another one.
Right. I think it was they introduced another princess in Super Mario Galaxy on the Wii. I do know that one. I can't remember her name, though. And when you play Smash Brothers, it's more about getting those characters now that aren't Nintendo, like Cloud Strife or Joker, Solid Snake, Mega Man, than it is actually focusing on the Nintendo characters, which I think is why they thought they could get away with not putting Waluigi in the game. But the last Smash Bros.
Yeah, I know,
game.
That's probably going to be great.
So.
Yeah, but I'm afraid they didn't do a second, you know, because that was cool if they tried to do.
Yeah, it. Well, I think you'd definitely have to be a legacy sequel. I don't think you could have, after how bad this bombed, I don't think you could have, anybody would have thrown money at a Super Mario Brothers 2. maybe the DVD made for DVD market, but then again, with some of the effects, I know they're not questionable a lot of the time. I do like the animatronics in this, but yeah, it's probably too pricey to do a direct to video back in the day. Unless you had British martial artist Gary Daniels as Mario and like, oh yeah, we'll just see him kick people in turtle suits. But no, I think, yeah, 10 years down the road after, well, yeah, I really think it would only work about the same time it took to get the cartoon, I suppose, if you wanted to make money on a sequel.
Well, you see now, they have older movies, like say the movies that we've seen like 80s and 90s, and they made a movie like one, and then 2023 or 2024, they make here's part two. And I'm like, the fuck is that? And I'm like, they should have done it afterwards, but then all of a sudden now they want to try to make part two after like 15, 20, 30 years later.
Well, there wasn't money in it.
No, I know. But I would think they would try to do a second one now.
Well, yeah, yes, but Bob Hopkins isn't with us. John Leguizamo is 63. Dennis Hopper's not with us. Unless you want to go with the bad, turns out the king of the Mushroom Kingdom or whatever they call their other dimension in this. Yeah. I know they say Mushroom Kingdom just as a joke because of all the mushrooms that. But, when you get when you see Lance Hendrickson at the end of the movie as the king of this dimension.
I was shocked at that. I was shocked about that one when it came up and I saw him and I was like, holy shit, that was him.
Yeah, and I have not seen a Lance Hendrickson movie that I wouldn't say isn't worth a watch. I'm not saying they're all good, but he always adds something to it.
Yeah, Pumpkinhead, he was in like many of those. He was in
I'm talking Hell World, I think. No, not Hell World.
Hellraiser, Hell World. Yeah.
No, Hellraiser, Hell World is Hellraiser 3. It's Hell.
Let me look that up.
Yeah.
See, I thought it was Hell World. But
it's definitely, it was based around video games, so great transition. Hellraiser,
yeah, Hellworld, yeah.
It's Hellworld, Hell on Earth is Hellraiser 3, yeah. So,
yeah,
which that one I think has Henry Cavill in it as well. not one I've seen. I'm working my way up there. So
I've seen everything, but let's not swerve from the Mario Bros. One. But a lot of people have been from Mario.
This really, when you look at the New York shots, and I think they actually shot New York, which kind of. Might be a discredit to the feature because I'm just saying, this kind of looks similar to Hellraiser 3 Hell on Earth released in the same year. But that was shot in North Carolina. So, it took place in New York, but that was early Weinstein money. So less said, I guess, the better. But one more thing about those. That odd animated sequence, it does make me think back on the old Philips CDI Mario and Zelda games they made. Again, that was Nintendo just made a bunch of licensing decisions that were definitely questionable. So
they did Mortal Kombat. They did. Well, I'm not saying. Disney wise,
well, Mortal Kombat
movie.
No, they didn't get a good. I don't think we had a good video game movie until Mortal Kombat. That was New Line, and that was a Midway property. The year before that, the underappreciated Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter, was released.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Again, that's a Capcom property. So Nintendo got out when the getting was good, and everybody else was just, oh, we'll make it work. And of course, Street Fighter is nothing like the video game. Mortal Kombat was pretty solid, but then you had Annihilation. So,
oh, and then you had
there's, I think there was a made for video sequel in the late 2000s, and then yeah, the 2021 remake, which had some great moments, but they had really bad pacing issues with that one. And I'm just, you know, I just give me, I know Christopher Lambert is not Asian, but that's my rating. What can I say? So I guess we better get,
he looks a little Asian.
I was not having that conversation at my liquor store job. One of the guys was replacing all the, my age, was replacing, was restocking, the Johnny Walker Green and Johnny Walker Gold bottles. There's a decent sale on them, but it's like, you know, we both,
I love how the conversation would go. Like, we did a conversation at the liquor store.
Well, what I'm getting at is, it was a lot of people just misunderstood what Scotland and Ireland are, essentially. Like, why are we restocking all this stock Scots? But yeah, so I guess we got to get into the plot. 65 million years ago, the meteorite struck, and instead of killing all the dinosaurs, it just sent them to a separate dimension where reptiles evolved into humans. And in the meantime, you know, we human mammals, they keep using the M word here, created a society that could sustain itself. So King Koopa, I mean, it's a weird world with the fact that I think every New Yorker is Italian in this one. Like, I didn't
typically
see
it. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, where's our Orthodox fellows? You know, occasional cab driver, like,
hey, get out the street!
Right. So it's the, so King Koopa, who usurped the former king, who was Lance Henriksen, the big reveal at the end. King Koopa, played by Dennis Hopper, wants to use the meteorite to merge the worlds back together, steal all of society, humanity's resources. Basically, it's Independence Day in a sense that way. And the only people who can stop him are two underemployed plumbers, played by
and a princess.
Yes, well, the princess has the part of the stone needed to complete the meteorite. So, so they send in Fisher Stevens, and I can't remember the name of the other guy. And I only really knew Fisher Stevens before this as Ben from Short Circuit.
Oh, and Hackers.
Well, Hackers was after this, so.
Was it after
this? Oh, yeah. Right, so. Iggy, played by Fisher Stevens, and Spike, played by Richard Edson. I really, again, if you wanted to try getting closer to the video game, they should have had the five other siblings. Or cousins, what have you, you know. Or at least had the Lena character, Fiona Shaw, great character actress, be named Wendy. Keep the Koopa thing going. So the princess, Princess Daisy, doesn't know she's a princess. She was ran out when Koopa took over. Her mom left her at a Catholic orphanage. And I don't know what the nuns are really thinking after that experience, since she hatched from an egg. Like, okay, I yeah. think, you know, like,
well,
I don't
they
know.
Prayed. They prayed a lot.
Okay, I am not of any faith, but I would think that would kind of make me think everything that we were taught is wrong. What's type moment. And essentially, I guess...
No, there's always that.
I'm sorry?
No, I was going to say, we put a... There was always like that one nun going like, oh, she's not around from here, you know. Or the baby's not from here.
Yeah, but that would suggest aliens, and I mean,
yeah.
You know, you either have, you know, the nuns would either start having an orgy or, oh, like, there's a horror movie made about this. You know, hey, that might be the way to go with the sequel.
Everything's horror somewhere. Everything's horror.
Yes. So, as the reason why they can connect the dimensions is because the Italian contractor Scapelli accidentally unearthed a dinosaur, well, a fossil dig, where you had reptiles that seemingly were trying to become human, at least according to the fossil records. So, again, everybody's Italian in this movie. Which, who knows, that's might be... I think that would actually justify what Miyamoto, the video game, the creator, thought of America, essentially. And, you know, there are some obviously poorly directed scenes, like when the queen is trying to get back to her reality and then stop, but chooses to, but the cave-in occurs to stop Koopa from getting over to our side. Oh, it was kind of like, there's just very bad cuts. Like, you would look like, oh, it's a, if you don't watch carefully, like, oh, did she run in and cause a cave-in? And then, as I say, just poor cuts. So the direction, like, the narrative is what I'm here for, though, because it's just so crazy. Like, really, this is a movie where they should have handed out pills before you entered the cinema. That would have fixed everything. Just
true. I mean, but when you're a kid, they're not going to give it to you.
Oh, well, the movie's about mushrooms, so.
Actually, no, fungus.
Well, there are mushrooms eventually, yeah. So there's, all right, just going through my notes. This is like the first major role for John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
I mean, he had some bit parts. I know he did some indie films. He was part of the, military, guys in Die Hard 2, Die Harder. Like, a lot of that guys at that time, like Robert Patrick was one of the guys trying to free Franco Nero under Bill Sadler's guidance in Die Hard 2. Right now I got
the Christmas movie as well, right?
Die Hard 2, I don't know, like, it's definitely a Christmas movie. It's just definitely was playing the hits from the first one, except a little more violent, I would suppose.
Yeah. You know what's funny about that? I have a Funko Pop of who's the evil guy from the first one?
Hans Gruber.
Yeah, Hans Gruber.
And oh, I've got all the Die Hard pops.
Well, I was like Hans Gruber, but then I went out and got the Nakatomi Plaza calendar.
Yeah,
where it's a standstill of not only pull it and
Alan,
going
Alan
down,
Rickman,
but
yeah.
like you have on Gruber like pulling down. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Until Christmas.
So it
oh,
falls
I have.
Down to like when you.
Yeah. I oh I have a. I have a face mask.
Christmas Eve or Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've seen that all over, like seen that a lot of people have that one. I just don't have the space to really, but when I'm thinking,
hey kids, look what you can win in the Krusty Sweepstakes. To enter, send me your parents' brains. All right, parents' brains on a 3x5 card and send it to...
Previously on 94 Chill, the podcast.
You all are drawing a lot of attention.
Do you have any idea how many federal regulations you're breaking?
One?
No.
Two?
No.
One and a half? You want to go find some ghosts? Come on!
It's the hat is too much, right?
So I just finally got around to Ghostbusters 2016. Answer the Call is what you'd probably find it under with iTunes. Let me just be up front. It pales in comparison to the 1984 classic, as we discussed on my podcast, 90 for Chill. That's really only because not every minute's filled with near comic gold or something that really grabs your attention, like the entire refrigerator scenes, I should say, from Ghostbusters. It's actually pretty solid humor-wise. I don't think it's as ectoplasmic as some have described it. It's just a very... You're trying to tackle a classic, trying to redo it, trying to start something new, which I can kind of appreciate, and I do appreciate the approach they take with the idea of the Ghostbusters just being accepted as real by all the major authorities, be it New York mayor, those guys behind Area 51 and all that bollocks. We can't afford to let people actually believe that they're real. The cameos are great. There's definitely great D, solid 90-minute movie in there. Why it's 2 hours and 15, I don't know where they came up with that idea. If you're just looking for a good, fun movie, good background noise, definitely should be on the rotations, I think. On the cable channels, it's not a bad movie by any stretch of the imagination. It's just not golden every minute, which kind of makes you think, why did you try it when you have nothing but gold from the original Ghostbusters? I will say better than Ghostbusters 2. It's not a retread. It is its own project. It all makes sense why all the Busters have vaginas.
We've had a doozy of a day.
A real doozy.
Thank you very much for your patience, Andres. Screw Xfinity on that one. I've been meaning, but no, I think it might be my computer, but I digress. So we just got through the plot of Super Mario Brothers. And let's see. Sorry, I got the movie in my peripheral and I think the volume went back on, but there we go. Okay, so the I guess, you know, better just describe what the dino world is like, I suppose.
What, for their side?
Yes.
It's like everything is generated, like the cars are like, you know, turbines, but they have one of those electric connectors to rods that would let them, you
essentially
know, go about.
Essentially bumper cars, in a sense.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And then and then they got the foot
Stompers, I think, is what they were called in that. Around. Yeah, I think they were called Stompers, as Big Bertha describes them. Big Bertha is not a fish in this movie.
No.
But, yeah, and I think they... Yes. Oh, there we go. See, there's the clever writing that nobody understood in 1993. Again, this probably would have worked better as a horror movie if somebody saw this script. Not something Nintendo would appreciate, since they're still the family system. And yeah, so we go to a hot dog stand. They're just going to put a bunch of dead bugs on your bun to eat. From what I, at least,
I think there was turtles in there too, I think.
Perhaps, yeah. I think it's honestly, that's not too far removed from Southeast Asia, from what I've gathered, at least from my friends who visited Thailand. But
so
it's a very dystopian look, but you do have the I wonder what happened after 9/11 on this side of the universe, because you do have the two towers.
Yeah, one of them destroyed as it is.
Well, yeah. So, maybe it was Koopa, not Bin Laden.
Theoretically, or maybe Bin Laden.
Oh well, I don't know. That would be. I mean, Koopa's evil, but come on. this is the first time I really noticed that Koopa is a germaphobe.
Oh yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, Dennis Hopper is great. He knew the assignment. Like, again, I know many many stories, like, where I think it was Hopkins and Hopper who were bad mouthing the production as it was being produced.
Dennis Hopper and John Leguizamo in a zombie movie. I don't know if they ever did.
Land of the Dead.
After, yeah.
Yeah, that was 2005, I think. Because that was Land of the
Dead. Okay.
Yeah. It was a George Romero feature, which I don't know why it didn't make any money. It's solid. It's good. I don't think there's maybe Survival of the Dead, the last Romero movie. I think that was just done on way too short. Like, I know Land of the Dead didn't make a lot of money, but then he did Diary of the Dead, which is a lot of fun. And then I think they just like, well, let's make another Of the Dead movie. And Survival had a lot of potential, but it's didn't have the money it needed, that which kind of happens when you're operating under the Magnet Media conglomerate, or Magnolia Media, which is ironically billionaire Mark Cuban's label. But if you like, it's usually, if you see a movie from Magnet or Magnolia, it's like, oh, that's probably going to be good, but you definitely know it could have been better if they would have had the money for it. So,
that's true.
Yeah. So, Toad is in this. Oh, yeah.
No, I was going to say money makes the world go. So,
well, yeah, but I don't know. It's kind of like somebody on Blue Sky went and said, like, oh, you know, here are all these speeches, you know, all these smaller movies winning the awards earlier in the night. And then, see? Why spend $200 million when you could make 20 $10 million movies? It's like, and you know, I responded with, yeah, Oppenheimer is about to start sweeping, so that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So let's see. And, I think this movie was done for 30, so, and definitely. Doesn't translate to modern dollars.
Yeah.
So there's that. And yeah, so right now on the screen, I got the interrogation, not the interrogation sequence, because it's supposed to be Koopa pretending to be a lawyer. But again, great scenery chewing by Hopper. I look at his hair and it reminds me, I was at a...
What was the name of it? Larry Larrison? What's his name or something?
Lazarus or something like that.
Yeah. Like lizard almost, you know.
Right. Then they introduce the devolve by devolving system. And of course they do it the Mojo Nixon, who's Toad.
Yeah. And love Mojo.
Yeah. Truthfully, I have not listened to enough Psychobilly. I know him, like, I would not know Mojo Nixon if it wasn't for, and I mean, since I've gone and looked back on Mojo, but if it wasn't for a Dead Milkman punk rock girl, I don't know if I would have, I better look into this Mojo fellow.
Yeah.
And sadly, he passed last month.
Oh, shit. I didn't even know that.
Patton Oswalt sent a tweet out saying, you know, well, if we don't have Mojo Nixon, this world can use some fixing. So.
True, yeah.
So there's a so they introduce de-evolution. So basically Koopa's punishment for the most part is taking a dissident, and because Toad has been arrested for singing protest songs.
Yeah.
Takes a dissident and reverts them to a lower form of what they were on the evolutionary chain. So basically they turn, I don't know how, when it only seems to affect your skull, the Goombas go and grow to 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
And have their tiny little heads. Like Toad is a good example because it's like, okay, well, I guess that kind of looks like a Goomba from the video game. But then later on you see, and I think it's a nice little touch, all the Goombas still have a touch of individuality in them. Like Toad has his harmonica. There's other ones with sunglasses. So that was a clever choice. That was a clever choice. But it goes back to the end. Like, okay, so we re-evolved the king. We're not going to take care of Toad? I mean, there's your big problem.
Well, I think they probably will. They're probably going to do that, like, you know, after the fact, but if they were going to do a second one.
Well, then there's the weird sense that it looks like they're kind of happy, I guess, you know, for the most part, the Goombas.
Yeah.
And now we got John Leguizamo fascinated by the fungus and keeps telling Mario, hey, trust it. And then you get the first exposure of the bomb, which they totally butcher the pronunciation of in this movie, just calling the bomb.
Yeah. No, I think the one of them says, like, my bomb. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a subtitle thing. And since this is a DVD, it's not AI generated. Like, a fun thing that I get in an argument with my sister about is, last time I watched Willy Wonka for the podcast, 1971 version.
Yeah.
There's when we're introduced to Veruca Salt, and they cut from the factory workers unwrapping Wonka bars, and she goes and says, "What is wrong with these?" My older sister says, "It's twits." The subtitle says it's twats. So if you're watching something on a streaming service, it's usually AI generated now, I think it is. So it's what the computer hears, not what the script says. So otherwise I got to go and buy myself a Blu-ray of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, which wouldn't be a bad investment, but. Oh, it's so easy. It's so easy when it's on Warner all the on Max all the time. But then eventually, Oh, that was, yeah, Max is a weird, like, it's not as bad as Twitter becoming X, but it's a weird, like, oh, let's totally get rid of why people came to it, because we did not come to it for Discovery Channel. At least that's what I think.
Yeah.
Not to say there isn't good stuff. Not to say there's not great stuff on Discovery Channel or Food Network. I'll watch. I mean, I'm a very picky eater, but I will watch Iron Chef till no end.
Oh, I tell you, my girlfriend would be a great debater on the Discovery because she loves that channel.
Yeah. But it's kind of so. Now I'm at the scene where they're escaping from the police station. And this is where it's like, okay, now I have to acknowledge I'm gonna have to abandon all logic for this movie, which again, like maybe not make when I say give the kids pills to start the film, I'm really thinking more of the adults. That was a thing of mine when I look back in time. It's like all the movies my parents had to sit through, which they knew they wouldn't like. I kind of feel bad for dragging them out to those. It's because it's not like I think the entertainment was more fun back in the 80s and 90s, but it's not. It was strictly for kids. I would say it wasn't until Pixar came around where they started putting in those jokes for adults. To make them see, we're thinking about you. We understand your pain. So when you have the Mario escaping in a police car, now he's heading away from a huge explosion of two cars. The logic thing is basically they pull up alongside and they start using flamethrowers, which I presume are supposed to be the fire flowers. They keep going through the back seat windows, the flamethrowers from the two cop cars alongside them. Then, of course, you do the move where you hit the brakes and they start shooting each other. Of course, the problem being is like, well, there was no problem putting flames through, your car. Why are they finally going to explode? And so now Mario and Luigi are escaping through the tunnel, which Mario's pissed because he wanted to go on the parkway, but Luigi always knows he'll do the opposite thing he wants him to do. What did you think of the dynamic of the two? Like, I mean, I think there is a genuine brotherly thing. I mean, these guys are drinking between takes together.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, they do play the part as pretty much Mario and Luigi. Yeah, right. They do look like Mario and Luigi, like in the movie, I would look.
Yeah, John should have had a mustache, you know.
Well, but then they get to the suits afterwards.
That's when they start the third act. That's supposed to be, all right, now you get the movie you wanted, you paid to see. I don't know. Again, it's like if this would have been a cartoon, a horror movie, this would be an undisputed classic. nobody questioning. Like if Ralph Bakshi was directed this as a cartoon, I think this would have been a masterpiece. So now the Koopa cousins interfere with the mud bath. I don't know if we really got enough of the Lena character in this movie. Just her jealousy, really. But you get that weird line, like those weird lines, like, you know what I love about mud? It's so dirty, but it's so clean.
And he says that about the Daisy, like, you look so clean.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's... I mean, I know he said, like when he was being was interviewing, hey, you got the Mario Brothers, hey, you gotta get us in touch with that Koopa clown. I don't know if you want to do that. He's an evil egg sucking. And then he goes and turns on him, and yeah, but you said he was evil. Yeah, did I lie? Dennis Hopper, I know he hated doing this movie, but he lives up to it. It's not quite Blue Velvet, but he knew the assignment, and I think Hopper, like, I would be jealous if I was Hopper, because I think he had sobered up a long time before this. And of course you have Hopkins and Leguizamo drinking between takes. So now we're getting to the evolution system, where they go and make Spike and Iggy smarter. And I kind of like the liberal message it presumes, because like the moment Spike comes out of the evolution, oh, our non-benevolent dictator. Like they know, they know, yeah, people are really screwed up. Like, yeah, our system's really screwed up. So I don't know if, it's a fun little bit, like, and eventually the Koopa cousins, like, yeah, we're going to do our assignment, but yeah, down with this guy.
Yeah, we're gonna turn on him like a wrestling.
Well, yeah, but as we say, it's almost smarter than anything in wrestling. But now that you bring up the wrestling, of course, the Mario doesn't know his girlfriend had been kidnapped before Daisy. And like, yeah. Oh, Danielle is here? Oh shoot! I told her I'd take her to WrestleMania, which is appropriate because WrestleMania 10 in 1994 was at the Garden, so there you go. I do like a lot of the comments though. It's like, are we in Manhattan? I don't know. I haven't been to Manhattan in a while. Very much talking about the differences.
I haven't been there in a couple of weeks. It must have been a rough couple of weeks.
Yeah. So I've never been to New York City. I know that I've talked to a lot of New Yorkers, Long Islanders, and it's like, oh yeah, no, New York City and adjacent is New York. Everything outside, everything upstate, that's Canada, is what I've been told.
Yeah, somewhat. Yeah.
Okay. My dad's from Buffalo, so it's kind of, but, and yeah, no, the upstaters have similar things to say.
I haven't really visited the city that much, because I'm more of a suburban guy, so.
Right. Oh, no, it's no different than, when I go up to Chicago, it's like, yeah, you don't really necessarily want to go in the city proper. So it's, I don't know. I'm a 44-year-old with a death wish. It's kind of like, no, I can handle the city.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I can do that.
But I was thinking, somehow I got notes with my evolution is becoming liberal, and then you have the Koopa's hair, Hopper's hair in this movie.
Yeah,
I mean, it's something I'd think Putin would try if he had enough.
Oh yeah, right. Like, yeah. I'm just gonna go and corn here.
I'm just saying, it's like, I don't know. If I was again. This shows you that evil in movies is so much better than evil in reality, because I don't know, Putin, it's one of those, like, Koopa realizes he's evil. It's kind of like, you know, Putin, why don't you lean into that? Just go. Yeah. Go all out on the, yes. But now we're to the, well, he tries to go Weinstein on Daisy in this scene, but we are introduced to Yoshi, which,
oh yeah,
I think it's a good little seat. It's not CG. It's I know it's a, which is brings us to the fact that this movie was released 3 weeks before Jurassic Park. So, like, maybe if it was released a year prior, they could have made some money off that. But, you know, Yoshi is no Velociraptor.
And, yeah.
And, but
it looks like a gentle one as well.
Yeah, no, you didn't get any. Like, maybe the Triceratops and the Brachiosaurus in Jurassic Park, but otherwise you didn't get any friendly looking dinosaurs.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, when you look at it, it's like Super Mario World, I think, came out in 91 in Japan. So 92 in the States with the Super Nintendo, of course. And I think it was kind of like, so Yoshi was the new character for the Mario franchise. And I guess that's how you come. That's the only way I could justify. Well, let's just make this story about evolution. And what if the reptiles were able to create their own society? If you didn't have, like, if they didn't introduce dinosaurs in Super Mario World, could they have, you know, would this movie have happened? Or at least this script.
Oh, true. Definitely, yeah.
Right, it's... But, yep. Oh, shoot. Accidentally hit the 1.5 during the date rapey moment.
Yeah.
Which is probably a good thing. And I don't know if you have a hard out, because you... but... Alright. So... Yoshi, almost kind of a disappointment that, well, he's so small. It's like, again, like, you can ride a Yoshi, and then, you know, for a little extra boost on your next jump, drop him into a crevasse. So, it's kind of interesting. I mean, it's kind of, again, it's like, everything's got so much potential. Like, if you had a better script, you know, somebody doing better script editing. No, I can't really say that. Because, again, it's like, it's just a silly science fiction movie that, you know, you'd love if it was made 5 years earlier in the 80s. Or at least before Who Framed Roger Rabbit, so.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, okay. I'm about through my notes, so we're currently creating the bond. I guess I didn't say anything about, well, besides your keen observation that Big Bertha bounces, which, now that I think
yeah,
about it...
Yeah, well, not like that, but yeah, that's what they say, she's the bouncer.
Right, yeah. Well, then I think about, oh no, Big Bertha's didn't bounce, because they were like the mothers of the cheap cheeps. Those are the ones that just fly out of nowhere and fly from the water to get to you. They were I guess it's just kind of like, you know, what's Mario really thinking with his play? Because you know he's back with Daniela at the end of the movie. Like,
yeah,
can you really go back to the Dino World? Like, it goes back,
could, you know.
I don't know. It goes back to Reservoir Dogs. The story about the it was a conversation, I guess, that Tarantino could barely get away with. Really, when he was saying, "Oh, there's nothing like an angry black woman."
Yeah.
You know, the entire story, like. Yeah. Oh no. So her guy was cheating on her, so she glued his dick to his stomach. Don't piss a black woman off.
But also, Mario has like a little thing with the bouncer lady.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, can he, like, he's so ready to go back at the end of the movie to the dinosaur world, and it's like, you did go and spurn Big Bertha.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, as I say, that's why I brought up Reservoir of Dogs in the pissed off black woman conversation. I just don't want to end up going back and then resulting in having to do a headstand to take a piss.
But imagine that bedroom scene.
Well, now I'm thinking about the video game, because the Big Berthers had that big mouth that was supposed to swallow you. then you further think about the video game. You further think about the video game. Of course, she had like three little cheat chiefs always following her. Like, oh
yeah,
no. Yeah, again, this could have been an excellent cartoon or horror movie.
Give or take. Overall, it looked out. Yeah. I mean, when I was watching it again, I'm like, actually, it was funny because I went to go and get the movie, and I'm like, I know I got the movie, and I bought it, and then I watched it like two or three times, like way before. And then we're talking about, we're going to talk about Mario Bros., 93, and I'm like, oh, I got that like in the DVD. And all of a sudden I looked, I'm like, okay, it's not there. Like, and I see the case. And all of a sudden it's not in the case. And I'm like, don't tell me I threw it out with the old DVD player. And then all of a sudden I looked at my I got like one of those little desk little drawer things that you can put your text in or whatever, like text like that. And I see like a couple of DVDs in there, and I'm like, oh, there it is. I'm like, all right, good. Let me put the sucker in, and
well, with that said, there's supposed to. So I listen to a podcast called Screen Drafts, where they pick a topic, a genre of cinema, and then create the best of list for them. And so this came up in first came up on the show in the video game adaptation draft, and I think it may have been number one, which is really weird, but and that's how the reassessment, if I can find a copy of it, I guess I'm buying it. Because again, I remember not liking it in 1993 as a 13-year-old Mario fan. I do appreciate Mario's game. Like, he gets immediately punched in the face by Big Bertha. And then it's like, oh, could you do that again? And now I'm thinking, like, okay, no, maybe I am into the after hours sequences between them. Just, but that's my own proclivities, I guess. But when they were talking about this, it's like on YouTube, if you're willing to do the digging, there is a director's cut of this feature, which is supposed to make everything work. I haven't taken that time, but it's one of those, like, this, I don't know if it's going to end up in the public domain or not. Essentially, I don't think it's going to end up in the public domain just because it's IP. Nobody gives up that, like, it's one of those that might never be released again when you stop and think about it.
Yeah,
which is kind of sad, because again, if you just ignore if you ignore the idea that you wanted to see a Mario movie, and just came to see a movie about a weird science fiction movie, it would totally work. And now that I stop and think about it, when did we get over the dance club scenes in cinema? Or have we gotten over the dance club scenes? Because, like, I was thinking, oh, this is kind of reminiscent of Earth Girls Are Easy. But then I go and think, well, we had a dance club scene in The Matrix, so.
Oh, yeah.
That's, I don't know. So I don't know if we've got, if we're still doing that. It's been a while since I've seen a dance club in a movie. Well, then again, the movie Gamer had a dance club scene, so.
I think every movie has a dance club scene. It has to have one.
Yeah.
We're at the multiplex.
Well, I guess that's a different.
Whatever, you know?
Yeah. Well, no. And then, though I bring that up, it's like I recently watched St. Maud, and there's the club scene in that movie. So. I guess and I was about to say, well, maybe it's a proof that you have a big budget and you could afford a bunch of extras. But then again, it's like, no, St. Maud did not have a big budget. So I'm really interested in that director's Rose Glass. She directed St. Maud, her new movie, Love Lies Bleeding, with Kristen Stewart and Ed Harris. I mean, looks insane.
Oh, I love Ed Harris. Ed Harris is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, he can make a, you know, he was the reason why you could get another season out of Westworld after they had concluded it pretty well. And they concluded it pretty well after the second season. So.
Yeah. But I forget what movie, I know what movie, but I can't remember the name of it. It's a sniper movie, Behind Enemy Gates, I think it is.
Enemy at the Gate.
Enemy at the Gate.
Yeah.
I know there's no movie called Behind the Gate.
Yeah, that was a movie I saw, 2001 was a weird time for me. Not really that weird, honestly. I just had a friend who, so basically we all went through junior college essentially. But for the most part, if we didn't get a scholarship, we all went through the junior college. And then when we, you know, graduated appropriately, I had a friend who wanted to go into law enforcement. So obviously a racist, just my statement about, or he was a guy who definitely felt underappreciated in high school. I can say that much. So the best law enforcement school in the state of Illinois is one of the best party schools in the state of Illinois. But that guy would come back every weekend and, you know, we'd go see a movie. Because I wasn't going to graduate. Well, I was going to get my associates instead of just like, oh, I did my 2 years here. You know, get my associates, get into professional wrestling. That was the plan. And I did go through that. But yeah, he would come back every weekend. It's like, dude, you could be, you know, you should just be staying at your university, partying, getting drunk. I don't, you know. But as a result, we ended up seeing like Enemy at the Gate in the theater like three times and having a bunch of debates about that movie. I don't know if it really holds up today. Like but hey, great mentioning that, because that's another great Bob Hoskins performance as Khrushchev.
Yeah. But also it's a great, I love the movie. So it's just like, no, I haven't seen one. Maybe I should watch that tonight.
Oh, there's so much fun things about it. I don't think when you look at the history of the Battle of Stalingrad, you know it's a total work of fiction. Not saying, you know, Vasily Zaitsev didn't go and kill all those officers, but I think the entire idea of them bringing their own sniper into take, so it's basically that movie's about sniper versus sniper.
But the kid that's supposed to be the snipering, we call it, you know, he's kind of, he's basically a kid, but he's very good at what he does.
Right. Oh, no, they do the flashbacks to justify his story. And Jude Law plays the hero in that movie. Rachel Weisz, that was very, like, I think eye-opening for a bunch, because Rachel Weisz had done a lot of great independent movies, and there's a fun movie I have off iTunes, which I think is only in standard definition, called Death Machine. That's definitely worth finding. It's a horror movie, and Rachel Weisz only has a walk-on role in it as like a secretary to, and then one scene only. But the that movie is about a woman who takes over the CEO of a weapons company, and she decides to shut down Brad Dourif's latest weapon, which you don't mess around with Brad Dourif. Probably the most underappreciated bad guy actor in all of Hollywood, the voice of Chucky. But he's a he decides to lock down the building and have her try to fight her new, like, his new dinosaur / Terminator hybrid. Directed by the guy who did Blade, so. Sad what happened to his career, but The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is a sad movie to watch, so I think that was his last film he directed. We just got the suits put on. We're trying to have the treachery angle from Lena. So, and that's the only time we really get to see Yoshi be Yoshi, is when he uses his tongue.
Yeah.
But, I'm surprised Fiona Shaw wasn't a bigger act. Well, if this is your biggest movie in the 90s, I guess I'm not surprised that she didn't go on to a larger career. I know her I really picked up on her after, like, the fourth season of True Blood, the season what about witches.
Didn't she do Cruella?
She may have been in that. I was gonna say she's getting a lot more work. She's getting a lot more work now. Well, she was in the Harry Potter movies. She's an English actress, so she's working all the time, essentially. Like, it goes back to Michael Caine. Yeah, never turning down a job. A lot of television work in her resume. As I say, I first really get paid attention to her in True Blood season 4, but yeah, aside from, Harry Potter, I'm not seeing. Oh, she was the aunt in Harry Potter. So I'm presuming the person who locked Harry under the stairs. Not a big Harry Potter fan myself, so. Yeah, nothing that really screams. Nothing that really shows up great on the mobile app for IMDb, but.
Yeah.
Let me. So, yep. And then we see Toad coming into his own, offering up food to Daisy. And, then gets barbecued. But I'm kind of... He saves the day, but playing his harmonica and getting the Goombas to dance again. It's kind of a, like the dancing sequence is a lot of fun, the elevator. And then it's kind of funny that they really, because it was actually Frankie Yankovic who's the song being played. No relation to Al, but they have performed together before he passed. And then, It's a but the soundtrack is interesting. Like the end credit song is by Roxette. And then you have the Goombas cover of Dinosaur. Which that's what it's that's what it's listed on in the credits, the Goombas featuring George Clinton.
Like historical name.
Oh yeah. No, that's another movie that I haven't done on the show yet. PCU.
Oh my god, I love that movie.
Yeah.
Again, you cannot find out any
No, it's no, I got that on a 2-pack back at Walmart in the day with Airheads. But yeah. No, Jeremy Piven, well, you know, kind of lived up to being, oh yeah, you definitely would have been on the cast of Entourage. At least outside of the and then the entire I don't think they missed well, it was a feature that may have been ahead of its time. Or, no, you don't want it to say ahead of its time, because that's what most conservative cinema is about now. Oh, they want to shut us up. And then they don't make any jokes about it. Like, yeah, it's like accepting the ridiculous nature, like, oh, we can't do anything edgy. And it's like, no, you, like, people say you can't remake Blazing Saddles, and it's like, you can, you just have to knock it out of the ballpark. Which is why you don't remake Blazing Saddles.
And not try to insult everybody.
Right, well, yeah, you can do that, but as I say, if your movie is not perfect, it's not, you know, it'll end up being more of a detriment to the legacy instead of a tribute. And I don't know. I think you just don't see any Westerns anymore. So I guess that's why Blazing Saddles wouldn't necessarily work. But no, Spaceballs 2, that's something, you know, the quest for more money, that should have been greenlit a long time ago.
For more money.
Oh no, I have a well no, my doormat is just the title, the font for the title Spaceballs, and underneath it says The Doormat.
Yeah.
So the third act of this movie, it's just, you know what's gonna happen, basically. Can't really say it's overly exciting. But again, it's just kind of like this, I guess the biggest problem with this movie, or why I should say the biggest problem with this movie, or, but the biggest, reason for the success of the animated movie that came out last year is it's kind of like, okay, when parents had to go and take their kids to see this, well, to see any movie based off a toy, essentially, the parents didn't give a shit about the toy. The reason why, so, you know, give it 30 years where the kids who were all about the toy, get the, you know, the toy is still selling like hotcakes. Like, Mario is probably the best video game franchise out there. And everybody knows it now. So I guess the biggest pain of being a parent in the 80s and 90s is they didn't get it because it wasn't for them. And now, like, oh, it's going to be a Mario Brothers is going to be a fun kids movie. Well, I love Mario Brothers to begin with. So that's why it's a $1 billion movie. If, like, I don't know if it was a okay, thank you very much. Just cut. Yep, I figured you were going to have a hard out. So, all right. So, as I say, the third act plays out. Mario and Luigi go and de-evolve Koopa with Super Scope Sixes. If you look closely there, and save the day, but Daisy chooses to stay behind, and from there. I don't know. I guess my big thing was, did Daisy stay behind because she wants to save a society, or was she just trying to duck her student loans?
Probably both.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Fortunately, I did not have to deal with student loans, but I could definitely see where that would be. Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, no, if I had that kind of debt and I had a place to escape to, I'm there. Like, it's whenever I visit, like...
Yeah, but you'll never be able to come back anyway.
Right, right. No, when I visited London last year for the Cubs-Cardinals series, it's like, oh, I could figure this town out fast. Like, just how do I change my identity and... Of course, there's no place to live in London, but, you know, I can get myself a little Mini Cooper. I can live out of that and avoid all my issues back home. So I've gone through all my notes. Any real takes you want to put out there that haven't been stated?
No, I think we kind of covered everything as it is. You know, it's like, you know. Well, no, basically, don't.
You know, it's basically it's a product of its time. We did not know if video games were, you know, about narratives, we could, you know, there'd be a movie to make. So basically, Super Mario Brothers 1993 is like a necessary experiment. Like, all right, we gotta, and perhaps it changed the video game market. Like, okay, if we're gonna end up selling, making more money off this, we have to create better stories. Instead of Mario goes through four levels and is told by a little guy in a mushroom hat, "Thank you, Mario, but our princess is in another castle."
Yeah.
Like, so it basically walked so that The Last of Us and could run, essentially. Maybe that's what the movie was missing, Pedro Pascal. I think he would have been a little too young for Luigi, but he'd at least have the mustache.
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit.
Well, I don't know. He can't be. I gotta look that up. Pedro Pascal. Because I know he's older than. Well, he's always looked the same age, but. Come on. No, geez. So, not. Oh, he didn't break big. And oh, no, he's. Okay, yeah, he would have been 18, so that would have been too young.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. So, I mean, did you see the Saturday Night Live sketch, Mario Kart, the HBO series?
No.
Oh, so it's right after the success of The Last of Us, and Pedro Pascal was the guest host on Saturday Night Live. And
think I heard something about. I haven't seen it.
Right. So it's like, oh, you have to basically the same plot of The Last of Us. You got to get the princess to this place. We need a driver. I don't do that anymore. But are you him? Yes. Yes. It's a me, Mario.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Remember when he got the Oscars and then he was like a little tipsy when. Accepting the Oscar.
I don't think he... What did he get an Oscar... Pedro Pascal get an Oscar for? Maybe an Emmy. I think an Emmy. I think you're thinking that. Yeah, no, the Emmys are for television. Well, I know the Golden Globes, at least, they sit you at tables where they do give you all the drinks you could ask for. So, but no, I mean, Pedro has become all the ladies' daddies from what I've gathered. So, but I don't know. And now that I say that, though, I think this kind of really held John Leguizamo back so much, though, because of how it bombed, which is very sad. Like, he's going to be.
He also did, like, some later down the line. He did, like, you know, John Wick.
Well, I mean, he had Carlito's Way. I think he's the guy who kills Carlito.
Yeah.
And I think he's the guy who put a bullet in Harrison Ford's brain in Regarding Henry.
And I think he killed off Dennis Hopper in that Land of the Dead.
Yeah, no, I think he's the only guy who's killed Dennis Hopper twice. Not to say that Hopper necessarily died. He just got de-evolved into sludge.
I don't know if he's like sludge. I think he's actually dead.
Well, I mean,
yeah, not like Lance Henderson as a you know, like fungus.
Well, he could be plankton, I suppose. There you go, SpongeBob SquarePants versus the Mario Brothers. All right, well, I know you got your heart out, and thank you very much for being so accommodating, and thank you for putting up with all the technical issues we had today.
Yeah, no problem.
Right. As for your question before the show, I do use podcast. I do all my editing essentially before I ever release the episodes on Audacity. So, Spotify for Podcasters works out fine for me, but that's just, again, what I went to college for essentially.
But they have the editing tools.
Yeah, they're in
June.
I did see that because when I was at the annual B Fest at Northwestern, and I did the podcast on my iPad with the Spotify for Podcasters, I did get all the notices, and it's like, well, shit. But it works fine for me. I was on a good platform called Podbean, but that's for people who really know all the ins and outs of it. So if you're looking for simple, yeah. I do not have another option outside of, like when I joined, Spotify for Podcasters, I was very intent on drilling their customer service department. No, really, what are you expecting me to pay you?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's like that's what I want to do. We get something where I don't have to pay anything, and then be able to do what you can get done.
Right. So I don't know. Oh, well. Yeah. I don't know where we can go from there. But you have, of course, the Tattoo Squid podcast, which is a weekly show, correct?
Yes, I just started it back up a couple doing stuff myself. For the time being, until I get guests. So anybody that wants to be a guest, go to Twitter, go to my link tree, actually linktr.ee/tattoosquid. That's TATUSQUID podcast, all one word. And just go on there and message either on Twitter or Instagram. So Twitter is at podcast tattoosquid, and Instagram is tattoosquid.podcast.
All right. Yeah. So if you've got, I mean, it's a great place. It's a great show to be on. If you've got something, you definitely start it up and need the exposure. There's probably, I just need to get more feedback from people online. I think Andres is probably a better host than I am. I'm a little more.
No, you're in there too. So.
All right. Thank you. You can be a guest on 90 for Chill the podcast. You can find me on Twitter at CatBusRust. You can find me on Blue Sky at CatBusRust.bksy.social. I mean, it's longer, but hey, it's fun to be on a platform where there's no advertisement. And that's basically, and I wondered, how the hell did they do that? And it's like, oh yeah, they got $44 billion from some idiot. So yeah, those are my those are my platforms. Just send me a, if you want to be on the show, send me a movie, a theme, a director, an actor. I can make anything work if you want to put extra work in, but preferably movies between 70 and 100 minutes, as I stated. If it doesn't hit the 141 mark, we can round down and we don't count the credits. So that's the show there. Rate and subscribe on your favorite podcast apps, 5 stars preferably. Be as honest as you want with all the text. I don't think the robots know that yet. I just got to go and dedicate it, of course, to my late best friend, Stacia Hardin, for keeping an eye on me, keeping me out of trouble. I hope she's doing the same for the rest of everybody she touched in her life. And, you know, pour a drink out for my little kitty, Skimbleshanks, the one-eared angel. So thank you again, Andres, for being on the show. Hope you get to your dinner on time.
Thank you for having me.
All right, thank you. We'll talk to you later.
Can I hear a wahoo?